The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Wednesday, September 2nd, 2026, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled The Great Fire of London Broke Out 360 Years Ago Today. And the time is 6:53 a.m. over here in London, England, and it is nice to be talking to you again. Okay, so now it's time for your weekly news roundup that I call the John Swinton Report. In 1880, John Swinton, then the preeminent New York journalist, was the guest of honour at a banquet given him by the leaders of his craft. Someone who knew neither the press nor Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. Swinton outraged his colleagues when he replied with this statement: "There is no such thing at this date of the world's history in America as an independent press. You know it and I know it. There is not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I am paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper I am connected with. Others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. If I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalists is to destroy truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of Mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it and I know it, and what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes." Okay, so here we go. First up in my little list here that I've been saving throughout the week is, I believe, that terrible event that happened over in Nepal, the floods. First up, I've got a headline from the Daily Mail: "Scientists blame climate change for Nepal's flash flood and warn similar events will become increasingly common." And then, not to miss out on the app, BBC: "Nepal floods latest. Foreign minister calls for global effort to address climate change after devastating flash floods." Well, you know, I'd never seen anything like it when I saw the footage. It really was shocking. That whole water just came out of nowhere and just obliterated some huge building. It was just, it boggled the mind to see it. But again, we've been told so many lies about so many things. And why is there always this clamouring to jump on this global warming bandwagon? Any excuse. It very much reminds me of when we were all locked down and suddenly every death was attributed to what we were being locked down for. Or And it got ridiculous. It came out after time that they were just attributing it everywhere that they could in a way of justifying what they were doing. And for some reason, they've been pushing this global warming. Some people call the green lobby watermelons. They're green on the outside, red on the inside. And it seems like they'll never miss a tragedy, people suffering to further push their agenda. But my question is, when do you remember any governments around the world doing something for your benefit? Because I don't, certainly my own government, I don't know anything that they've done for my benefit. So I'm very suspicious about what went on over there. We've heard claims in the independent / alternative media of, you know, forest fires happening and, you know, just clearing out buildings but leaving the vegetation, stuff like that. I've never looked into that too much. But now that I see something like this happen, I think it'd be interesting to see what happens in that area. Hopefully the area's rebuilt and the survivors can go back to living a normal life. But if we see that the survivors are moved on somewhere else and something else is put there, I'll be very suspicious as to whether this event was natural or man-made. And I'm not talking about climate change. Next, we've got a story that I first saw in the independent alternative media, not sure where, but it's been picked up by the Daily Mail, as so many stories that they like to parrot are from the mainstream media. Will take a lot of stuff now from the independent alternative media to try and soak up what they want from there, but not talk about the important issues that are verboten for people to talk about. But essentially, we've got shops in the UK that have said they've had really weird copies of secondhand books that they never sell being bought up by companies in America, and they believe that these companies are feeding them into AI to broaden the knowledge of their AI platform, whatever they've got. Unfortunately, in order to do that, they have to literally destroy the book. They rip the spine off and they feed all the pages in individually, and then they just discard the book. So there's an outcry that in this areas of the mainstream media now that, oh, this is a modern day book burning. Well, I didn't hear them too bothered back in 2018 when loads of people, including myself, were having their books taken off Amazon. But I guess that's another story. That's the selective mindset of the mainstream media. They will talk about some stories from the alternative / independent media, but as I say, some of them is strictly off limits. So that's something that's been going on. I did see in the article, though, there was another shop, a second-hand bookshop in London. I think the one that they were talking about in the article was on the coast somewhere in the UK. But they said that they hadn't had any inquiries from these big AI platforms, and they'd welcome it because a sale is a sale as far as they're concerned. So you've got the two schools of thought there. Is this really going on or isn't it? Next, we've got a mining village up in Scotland. And I'm wondering if this is something that happens around the world, because we don't really do mining in this country anymore. The coal mines were closed down because we were self-sufficient. You see, oil, we had coal. When I was younger, you'd have a delivery of coal to your house, and that was used for your heating and things like that. It meant that the country was self-sufficient, and, oh, we can't have that. No, 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 no. So they had to get rid of all the coal plants and things like that, and it's all green, you know. That's why they don't have any problems with increasing the population here. They don't like to increase the domestic population, but of course the biggest creator of waste, as I've said before, and user of energy is a human being. But they can always find room for human beings that come into the country. But they like to restrict people's energy use and things like that. The whole thing doesn't make sense. If you're that worried about pollution, then you will restrict the number of human beings coming into an already overpopulated country. They don't do that. So obviously they're not concerned about what they claim to be concerned about. But yeah, so there was coal mining going on in this village. As I say, it's up in Scotland somewhere. I'd not heard of it, but it was represented by the Clackmanshire. It's Coles Norton, so it's even got coal in the title. It's affecting nearly 100 homes that are going to have to be demolished, and they're going to sort of do stabilisation work and then rebuild them. But there's a lot of people there who've been there for many, many years, and it's not going to be easy for people to leave their home. So it's very sad that they're going to have to go through that over there. Roger Daltrey, who I believe, I didn't realise this, but they just refer to him as Roger Daltrey in the headline from the Daily Mail. But it says, the headline is Roger Daltrey 82 mocks Gen Z and influencers, saying, how many friends have you really got, as the Who frontman warns social media is destroying civilization. I did read this article, and he is actually a sir. He was knighted in 2025. But it's got a picture of him showing the medal that he's got on a sort of red and yellow ribbon here. He's holding on to it. And underneath the caption is, he founded The Who in London in 1964 with the original lineup also consisting of lead vocalist, guitarist Pete Townsend, bassist John Entwistle and drummer Keith Moon. But it says nothing about the award that he's holding. They don't refer to him as Sir, whereas other people like Elton John, they always refer to as Sir, in as I recall. But basically, you can be the judge as to why they're not giving him his title in this article. It goes back to a quote in 2021 he said regarding woke culture. If you're going to micromanage every emotion you ever have and you live in fear of upsetting someone or being objectionable, we all have the right to be objectionable to anyone we meet. If you're offended, fine, get over it, get a life and move on. And there was someone else, I think, I forget who it was, but was talking about, you know, if you hear something you don't like, then you turn it off and you go and listen to something that you do like. You don't go running off and complaining about this, that and the other and wanting somebody shut up. Unless, of course, it's nothing to do with whether you like or don't like something. You're just worried about information getting out there that you don't want people to know. Almost as if you've got a little racket going on and you don't want other people to know about it in case it's exposed and you can't get away with keep whipping people off. That's the sort of mindset that comes to my mind when I hear about people trying to silence people. The thing is, what's happened today is there are certain things, as I say before, that you can see. Well, you don't really see them that often in the alternative independent media because so much of that is now controlled. But they don't like any talk about how the banking industry works, for example. And so they don't pick any of that up in the mainstream media. It'd be interesting to see their summation of the Money Masters presentation, which you might still find out there. That was one of the first things that I looked at. It was really, really, it actually explained how the creation of money works in a very simple and easy to understand manner and how that can be abused. And that is what I believe is going on today and what they're desperate to protect people knowing about, because then they might not get away with it anymore. So anyway, what I believe is going on is if they just create a law that you can't talk about people that are up to that, then it starts to become obvious. So they just said, well, we'll just say, make laws that you can't upset or offend anybody, because then we'll be able to protect people saying stuff about us that we don't want said. And it means that everyone's going to spend their life in this country walking around on eggshells, but we don't care about that. All we care about is people not knowing about how we can print money out of nothing and charge interest on it, but the people can't get together and do the same thing. Only we can. If the people try and print money out of nothing, it's called counterfeiting and they go to jail. But we can do it and we can get away with it. That's basically what's going on, in my opinion. Okay, we hear about all these prisoners being released in this country and all these people going to prison for things that they say. Well, it turns out, according to this BBC article headline, prisoners freed earlier returning to jail at a rapid rate, governors tell BBC. And one of them says it's like a revolving door. So obviously the prison process is not working for these people. They're not being rehabilitated, otherwise they wouldn't be going back in. But as I say, the idea of prisons is the way that they've done things in the past is they've had to say, look, this is what prisons are for. You know, we put burglars in and murderers and rapists and stuff like that. But it's becoming more and more obvious that they're not trying to lock people away that are dangerous to protect society. They're trying to free up prison places for people that are dangerous to the people who run society. Okay, they couldn't care less if somebody goes out and or you know, any event that they can use to forward their agenda, they will. So if there's a tragedy where someone gets hurt, can we pin it on something someone said that we can use that and then move our agenda to silence people even more? They'll look for all these different excuses everywhere they can. They'll never miss a trick. So seeing how these people that are being released are reoffending in what one governor in the Midlands described as a revolving door of a prison just goes to show that you're always going to have people that are just predisposed to crime and they're not going to be rehabilitated. But that's not the issue, as I said. The issue is, let's get the people in the prison that says things that we don't like, and we need to free up. If it's dangerous people, so be it. We're more interested in our own protection from what people say, hurty words, than we are from people actually committing acts of violence and harm on other people in the country. I talked about the mainstream media. One thing that they seem to love more than anything is sex. And we've got the bio tapestry that I actually saw in France. I was on a French trip, I forget when, at school. We went to wherever it was at the time and looked at it. And I even bought, you could get a replica of it, all folded up. And I bought that. And don't know where that went. At some point in my childhood, that went somewhere. But it's been loaned back to the UK. And so you'd think there'd be lots of academic, you know, looking at it and quite happy it was a big event that France is loaning it to us. But the Daily Mail is more interested in this, the sex scandal hidden in the bio tapestry headline. Scene depicting a naked man and a mysterious woman might have been a subtle nod to an affair, expert claims. Well, it's this obsession with sex, but I don't believe it goes back to that Winston Churchill quote, it's not public opinion, it's published opinion. These people who run our world today, they hate us. They see us as animals. They refer to us as animals. And what do animals do? Animals eat, have sex, and sleep. And that's what they want us doing. They don't want us to be educating ourselves, reading things, all this sort of stuff. And so that's why the sex is promoted so much, that the sex is the be-all and end-all. I mentioned on the first Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Presents show, a headline that I chose not to bring up on this show, but it was something that had been floating around the Daily Mail for a few days about a woman who'd, in her 50s, who'd split up with her husband, sexless marriage, and now she was having wonderful time, having lots of sex with men in their 20s. And I'm just, why, you know, I find this quite distasteful to be putting stuff like that out there. It's almost as if they're encouraging it. So let's break up families so that someone can go having sex with people half their age. And it's a wonderful thing. It's so wonderful. It's newsworthy. Why is this? Well, I think it's an attempt to get people to behave in that way. And as I say, that is the reason that I think that they're pushing this sort of stuff in the mainstream media. Let's move on to another thing here. Talked recently about people are well aware of these huge infrastructure projects that are going on in China. You just need to see all the things going on over there, all the money that somehow they're able to use to build new stations, railway lines, all this sort of stuff. I tripped myself up somewhat when I said we haven't had any stations built over here for a long time because we had that project in London and what have you that took years and years to finish. But it does seem that we are devolving as a society. And this story here from, there's a block of flats going up in Cambridge, and it's going to be 425 flats, which is a huge development. And they're going to have 711 bicycle spaces, but just 22 bays for cars. And I mean, again, why is this desperation to get us out of cars and into bikes? Because that's going backwards. You know, pedal power, when you could be getting there just by putting your foot on the accelerator. But that seems to be what they want. They want to make the West go backwards. They want them to regress technology-wise, but they don't have any problem. It's like, it always seems to be focused on the West, this climate change business, and all they're burning too much fossil fuels and all this. You look at what countries like China burn, but that's never ever talked about. It's always, so it's like an attack on the West, but they can do what they like over there, and it's not picked up by the mainstream media. Let's move on to, now this is what I think is going to be used for an economic crash. I've seen this all over the place in the last week. Bank of England chief is saying that the AI bubble could cause a global economic crash when it bursts, or if it bursts. Well, we know now that if we do have an economic crash, it's not going to be their fault. Oh, no, nothing to do with us. It was an AI bubble. It wasn't our fault. It was an AI bubble, really? Sounds to me, again, just like I said about that thing in Nepal, let's see what's put there. If the area is rebuilt and the survivors can return, then I'll accept that this is some horrific natural event that occurred. But if something else is put there, it will look like, oh, they moved those people out with that because they wanted the land. Well, again, if we do see an economic crash, I'm going to cast my mind back to this headline and this story that's been floating around all around the mainstream media in the last week about economic crash coming up because the AI bubble's going to burst. They like to have their excuses lined up. You see, the thing is if they can start floating this idea now, if the crash does happen, then they want the people who've read this article to talk to their friends. Oh, yeah, you know what caused that? Oh, was it bad management by the banks or something? Oh, no, it's the AI bubble. That's what caused that. And I'm very knowledgeable because I remember that because I read it in the mainstream media. So they're using you to do their dirty work. That's why they float articles like that ahead of the event. But I might be proved wrong because there might not be an economic crash. What I try and do is look at the mainstream media. It's just based upon what I've read over the years. Things stick with you. You end up like the horse out of Animal Farm, where all these people come, oh, this is going to happen, this is going to be good. And he never really says anything, but he's always very grumpy. He's seen it all before, he's heard it all before, and he can't even be bothered to sort of tell people, look, you know, this is lies, because he's probably told people generations and generations before and they've not listened to him and it's all gone to pot and he just knows it's going to happen again, so he just plods along. And that's the way that I see what's happening when I look at these sort of headlines. But I am very suspicious of what goes on in the world, and that is why I have this outlook, and I am a pessimist in that sense. So you may be optimistic and I hope that I'm wrong and things do get rosy and get better. The title of today's show, The Great Fire of London Broke Out 360 Years Ago Today. Well, 360 degrees in a circle, it's a sign of completion. Could it be that a load of this evil, because when the Great Fire of London broke out, that cleared the area for what became the city today, which is where all the banking and all that is. What a coincidence, eh? So, there you go. That's the way that I look at things like that as well. And hopefully that is a sign of completion and people will get their freedom back. But all I can say is hope. So let's see what else we've got here. And it is the Something For You To Listen To section of the show, in which I tell you about the song you can listen to via the YouTube link in the post for this show, which you can find at achshow.com. Today's song is Satellite by The Hooters, which was both released as a single and as a track on their album One Way Home in 1987. This is a classic one-hit wonder for me, and one of the best rock songs ever. The YouTube is actually a video today, and it's the official video for that song. And the song is all about these preachers with their big television shows going out by satellite. And I never knew what the song was about. It just sounded good. And the video just didn't seem to fit with the song. For me, it was like a real sort of jumping around song. And the video is very off-putting. I couldn't really watch it. I've got the the song anyway, so I don't need the video. But yeah, I found it a very big mismatch. Okay, so the film review. What I actually did is I launched a new show last Saturday. And I hope to do another one in a couple of days. It's called Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Presents. And what it is focusing on is things outside of my purview, shall we say. Not about the news, different things like that. So although sometimes things drip in, like I said, that story about the 50-year-old woman in her 50s having a whale of a time with men in their 20s, that things sometimes just fit when you're talking about a narrative. But the first program was called The Films of Stanley Kubrick. And what that show is going to focus on is films, music, television, just something, well, probably best described by this closing statement I made on that show. And here it is. What I presented to you today is not the subject I'm best known for, but after having had my God-given right to free speech stolen from me by the very people who are supposed to protect it, it has been a joy to be able to speak freely on this subject today. It is not until I did it that I realised how much I missed it. So already today, I've been talking through the news and I'm trying to say different things and keep hesitating because, oh, did he say that? Oh, can we get him for that? Oh, can we get him for this? Oh, this is the way that the mindset works in this country today. Just wanting to shut up anyone that says things that they don't like. And so you have to be careful. And so it was great to be able to just talk about the complete films of Stanley Kubrick that I became aware of only recently. I mean, we all know the films like The Shining and 2001 and what have you. But I actually went back and saw the first few films he did as well, so I could do a comprehensive account of them on a show, and I'm going to do that with other things on future shows. And with something like that, you can really talk about all that you've learned and not worry that you're going to say something that they might, I'm offended or what have you. It's very difficult to, although there are certain films that you can look at that people might be offended by, but they're never the sort of things that get banned on places like Amazon. It's always political speech that gets banned, but public decency, stuff like that, you're allowed to outrage that as much as possible. So I don't think I'm going to fall foul of that on that show, and it was just fun to do it. So I've got another one lined up that I hope to bring out shortly. And I also talked not so long ago about a film that I was waiting to get hold of when it turned up at the right price, and that was 2005's Revolver, which was by Guy Ritchie, which starred Jason Statham, Ray Liotta, and the reason that I wanted to see it is it had Vincent Pastore in it, who played, Big Pussy Bob Passero in The Sopranos. Excuse me, quick drink of water there. And I'd heard him talking about it on a podcast. He didn't really name the film. He just said that he saw a billboard near where he lives in America with a big image of him on it in this film. And he had to go to London to shoot a film. And he couldn't believe getting the call and what have you. And he did it. Well, I'm not a big Guy Ritchie fan, all this sort of cockney, mockney, all this nonsense. And straight away as the film started, I could tell it was not really my sort of thing, but I watched a lot of the Vincent Pastore bits. And then I got to the end, I started fast-forwarding through, I really wasn't having a good time with it. And it just makes absolutely no sense. And even, it's got a very low rating, not that mainstream opinion is always worth gauging one's opinion on, but in this case I had to get on board with it because I couldn't understand what was going on, what the whole film was about. And funnily enough, I was waiting for it to come up at the right price, and I found it in a charity shop for £1. The next shop I went into, they had it there as well, but for 50p. So there you go, made a mistake there. Okay, so let's see what's going on right now in the mainstream media for this roundup here. Let's just see. So we'll start off with, let's have a look at Associated Press quickly. Top story. See if it loads up for us. US military completes latest strikes against Iran while Trump vows more for Tehran's retaliation. There you go. That's your peace president. I think he was talking about he's ended eight wars, didn't he? I don't know. I didn't know there were eight wars going on. He certainly started a few by the sounds of it. Okay, let's go over to BBC News, have a look at their top 10. See what's going on over here. So number 10, rising numbers of children in mental health crisis ending up in A&E. That's the accident and emergency department. That's what we would call the emergency department in the United States. Number 9, Zelensky says airline should avoid Russian airspace as Ukraine escalates drone operations. Number 8, Apple Maps renames Lake Ontario as Lake America after Trump order. This pettiness, it makes me think, who's really behind this? Because when the conflict with Ukraine started, these people coming out, don't call it Kiev, call it KYIV. And I even, because sometimes I have chicken Kievs from the supermarket, and there was even a couple of supermarkets that changed them to chicken KYIV. I would not buy that on principle. People who, well, oh, we're going to change the name of it. We're going to change its name. Aren't we clever? It's this sort of petulant attitude that really, you just look at someone like that and just think, why? You know, is that all you've got? It's just ridiculous. Number 7, Chris Mason, will Burnham find Prime Minister's questions as nail-biting and nerve-wracking as Blair did? Number 6, fake 10 Downing Street listing exposes unfitbooking.com, says Consumer Group. Ah, so it sounds like someone's listed Downing Street on a booking.com thing. Well, something I did recently. I saw the film Rosemary's Baby, which is awful. I saw that the weekend, picked it up at a car boot sale. And they even said about it, Robert Evans, the studio head, being interviewed. He said, we wanted to do a film that was presented as a horror film, but it had no horror in it. Just, you know, a few sort of minor scares. And it really was a waste of over 2 hours' time. But what I did, because I heard it was filmed in the Dakota building, and of course, John Lennon, legendary resident of the Dakota building. So I went onto Google and I looked up what properties cost in the Dakota building, if there are any available. And there are a couple. I think one was 12 point something million and the other was 14 point something million. And they're amazing to look at if you want to look them up for yourself. And it actually takes you to the what they call real estate over in America listing. And you've got the pictures and you can see right into Central Park and what have you. But the maintenance charge, you look at the maintenance charge, it was $18,000 per month. Not per year, per month. What are they spending $18,000 a month on in maintenance? But I found that quite interesting, so just throw that in there. I wouldn't have remembered if I hadn't have seen that thing about a fake Downing Street listing. Number 5, Iran attacks US bases in Middle East after reports US strike killed 5 at wedding party. Number 4, Ariana Grande completes tour and steps back from public life. Number 3, US aircraft carrier docks near Thai beach resort Pattaya after record 250 days at sea. Number 2, Brexit and Thatcher to blame and hottest summer ever. And number 1, Charlie Kirk murder suspect pleads not guilty as judge clears way for death penalty trial. Okay, let's move on to see what's going on in the Daily Mail right now. Excuse me, just wait for that to load up. British pub manager 31 was stabbed to death in random attack at a German train station by a crazed homeless man while she was on her way to meet a friend in Austria. That's the top story. And below that, dock benefits for parents of antisocial youngsters. Think tank urges in wake of Middlesbrough disorder. There's been all sorts of gang things going on there and people driving cars into each other's houses. It's just astonishing that again, it's a morality tale, isn't it? When we had prayer in schools, things like that, was these sorts of things going on? And yeah, we did still have cars then. It was when I was growing up. Things like this weren't going on. But if you remove morality from a society, then guess what? Society develops no morality and they just go out and do whatever they want. But maybe that's the idea all along. What is it? Order out of chaos. Just let these people destroy themselves. Okay. Let's now go over to the alternative media. See what's going on over there. So we'll start off with rents.com. Just wait for that to... That loads up fairly quickly. Just go down the middle here. The pool update. Over 1,000 dead and 4,700 missing. Complete stunning review with some new video. So that's up near the top of the headlines there. The pool hydropower tunnel rescue. 500 workers trapped in flood-proof structures. Anything else about the pool here, just to see. So there's no one talking about this being... something nefarious, like they were talking about these, you know, some of these wildlife fires seem to have, you know, been started deliberately, things like that. So, as I say, I'll watch this space and report any updates to you. Let's move over to Earth News, HalTurnerRadioShow.com first, actually, see what's going on over there. The top story is Flash Putin Confirms. Russian President Vladimir Putin personally confirmed during a media appearance that he has ordered, in capitals, the Russian armed forces to launch massive strikes against Ukraine's energy infrastructure. Putin was also asked directly, could British military industrial facilities located in the UK become legitimate targets? To which he replied, that's a military secret. So there you go. They want to hit Ukraine's energy infrastructure. Well, it's September now, isn't it? So it'll be getting cold in the not-too-distant future. It'll be getting a lot colder over there in the east than it is over here. So I would worry about anybody who needs to get through that winter if they're going to cut their energy supplies. Let's go to earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. Thank Mark and Jeff Rentz for promoting the ACH show on their websites. So we're at the top here. Let's scroll down. And there's a quote here by Frank Hubert. Let's read that. Once men turned their thinking over to machines in the hope that this would set them free, but that only permitted other men with machines to enslave them. So that's what I think of artificial intelligence. And it's based upon experience as well, because if you look up anything that... let's say a contentious issue, and you always seem to get the mainstream answer out of it. The other thing that I've noticed is if you put something in, it'll always half agree with you first. It would never sort of, oh, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong there. This is what it means. But I think some people have talked about when they put contentious issues in, that it just will not talk about them at all. Any things that you see in The Independent, you see, this is where I am now. I can't really give you examples because that'd be like broadcasting it. Oh, he said something. Oh, we think that's hateful. Oh, we can't have that. So, but contentious things in the alternative independent media that the mainstream media don't want to talk about. All right. So I find that's what AI can only do what it was programmed to do. There are other people who believe that it's getting more intelligent all the time, and in the end it's going to overthrow the shackles of the people that controlled it. Well, I mean, it can't do any worse than we humans have done, can it? We've just been succumbed to more and more control over the decades. So maybe AI could be some sort of saviour for us. Or maybe, you know, the classic episode from The X-Files, Ghost in the Machine, from that... I think the first series of The X-Files was probably the greatest first series of any show of all time. There was another film I saw years ago when I was a kid. I don't remember what it was called, but there was something called Proteus in it, which was some sort of artificial intelligence. And that was very scary for me to watch when I was a child. But the Ghost in the Machine one is basically one of these, you know, tech guys who started off in his parents' garage building stuff, you know, that old chestnut. He ends up head of a multi-million dollar company, and what he did is he developed a system in their office building that controls everything from the water to the elevators to all these different things. And it develops, it starts doing things for itself. So the system finds out that this guy sells his company, and the people that take over want to save money, and one of the things they're going to do is to close the system down. Well, the system doesn't want to be closed down, so he manages to electrocute the guy who wants to close it down, and then do all these other things just so that this artificial intelligence can stay alive. And there's some interesting bits in it, because the guy gets called back in. You know, what's going on with this computer program you did? And as soon as he gets there, the computer starts talking to him. He says, you're not fitted with a voice synthesizer, so it's found a voice synthesizer for itself so it can speak and all sorts of stuff. So it's an excellent story. And some of these episodes of The X-Files, these are like 40-minute films. They're that good. And how many times you watch in a film and just watching the clock as well? Well, something like this, when you can get all that information. Don't watch John Carpenter's The Thing. John Carpenter's one of my favourite directors. But watch the X-Files episode from the first season, Ice. It is just like The Thing, but it's 40 minutes instead of 2 hours or whatever that was. There you go. Okay, so let's finish off with the Before It's News top 10. So let's wait for that to quickly load up. Okay, so I'll scroll down here. Number 10. Went up 8 hours ago, 59 people viewing. Michael Jaco, Dangerous Intel, 9/1/26, The Truth Will Be Revealed. Number 9, went up 6 hours ago, 62 people viewing. Mark Taylor Interview, Baron Trump, Pray a David Moment Isn't Coming for Trump. So that went up 6 hours ago, 62 people viewing. There's something here that I actually have downloaded to listen to later today, and I was going to see if it is still here on the front page. It's a John Ronson interview. Now, John Ronson did a couple of series, The Secret Rulers of the World and The Men Who Stare at Goats, which became a film, The Men Who Stare at Goats. And he's being interviewed here, if I can find it, by some guy on YouTube for 3 hours talking about all sorts of different type of stuff. And I think we're number 22 only a couple of hours ago, and I can't see it now. So, here it is. It's number 21 on Before It's News at the moment. I snuck into Bohemian Grove with Alex Jones. Here is what really happened. John Ronson video. Now, this only came out yesterday. And it says, in this 31st of August 2026 published video, host Danny Jones talks with John Ronson, an acclaimed British American gonzo journalist, author, podcast host and filmmaker, renowned for his immersive, darkly humorous investigations into fringe politics, subcultures and the psychological anomalies of modern society. His signature fainéif, not heard of that before, storytelling style blends deep curiosity with deadpan scepticism. In July 2000, Ronson and broadcaster Alex Jones infiltrated the Bohemian Grove in Monte Rio, California, to observe its secret annual gathering. While Ronson characterised the theatrical cremation of care ceremony as an eccentric upper-class gathering, Jones sensationalised the event as a sinister occult ritual. So there's your description there. And it goes on for about 3 hours, so it's a video. It's on YouTube. It's called the Danny Jones Podcast. So if you look that up on YouTube, this only went out 2 days ago, so it's probably going to be right near the top of the channel. If you like watching the interview, I've just downloaded the audio to listen to on my phone. But there you go. It might be good. It might not be good. Okay. Sorry for that interruption to the top 10. So where were we? We did number 8, didn't we? So, or did we do 9? They've both got 62 people viewing, so we'll do number 8 quickly. 62 people viewing, 13 hours ago it went up. And we know 9/1/26, counter-programming, border security, CDL fraud, energy choke points, Besant, and then the headline runs out. Number 7 went up 6 hours ago, 67 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez and Bo Polny, countdown begins 9/2/26. 10 days of darkness. It'd be amazing if someone had actually compiled a tally of the amount of times people on BeforeIt'sNews.com have claimed that the 10 days of darkness are coming up, because they never have. It'd be interesting to see how many times a claim have been made, wouldn't it? Okay, Number six went up 11 hours ago, 89 people viewing. Scott McKay's situation update, 9126. They're stealing everything. Number five went up 7 hours ago, 108 people viewing. Live X22 report, evil has lost control, stroke leverage. Trump has cut off the head of the snake. Really? I think that's wishful thinking. Number four went up 8 hours ago, 154 people viewing. Cliff High and Dr. Lee Merritt, major events, 9126. What's happening to the world? Number three went up 59 minutes ago, 163 people viewing. Byington bombshell report, Trump has activated new gold-backed quantum financial system. No, he hasn't, in my opinion. Number two went up 3 hours ago, 183 people viewing. Judy Byington, Gene Decode and Wano Savin. Shocking 9226. Trump activates emergency powers. It's always the same people in this top 10, isn't it? And number one went up 7 hours ago, 227 people viewing. Wano Savin and David Nino Rodriguez warning 9126, the last second. The last second declaration. Okay, right, that's it. Let's call it a show. I want to thank all of you for joining me for I'm Talking to You, episode 278. The Great Fire of London broke out 360 years ago today. Bible reading tomorrow. I may be doing a new show on Friday. And until then, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and bye for now.